Say this, I'm not in your band, and that's okay, you didn't invite me, that's fine, but if I were in your band, I might suggest the one guy find a different place to store those recorders. I don't know. Last night was a great night. That was a lot of fun. Hey, I'm standing up here on the stage. Yesterday I was on the floor. The day before that I was on the stage. I'm trying to see what works best. You know, sometimes if I'm down on the floor, maybe it seems a little bit more personable. But when I've been on the floor, I've seen people kind of going like this and maybe can't see at times. And so I want to give a little vote because we have two more of these services after today. So can you raise your hand if you would rather have me up here from now on? Okay? Okay? How about if you'd rather have me down there? Okay? And how about if you'd rather just not see me at all? I'll go stand in the back and you just keep looking this way. Oh, that's great. Okay, well then I'll stay up here. I'll come up here tomorrow as well. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Do you have it memorized already? This is one of those I would highly recommend that you memorize and perhaps maybe memorize as a family. You know, this is an interesting thought, is maybe together memorizing scripture at family camp. And then you have more than just tie-dye t-shirts and different souvenirs from camp, but you have a scripture maybe each year that you memorize. This is going to be really good for you, healthy for your family. But let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You know the drill. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yesterday we talked about the idea of no longer conforming to the pattern of this world and the importance of that and the reason for that. And today we move on to, but be transformed. No longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And isn't that the goal of it all anyhow? Christ came that we could be transformed. And the word transformed there actually comes from this, where we get the word metamorphosis. It's a change. But it's not just a change on the outside. It's a change on the inside. It's interesting when you think of change. Some people don't like change at all. Some people, the idea of change just really upsets them. If there's a change in their schedule, if there's a change in their job, a change in their life, it becomes a very difficult thing. But then again, there's this big thing of change in our society as well. Do you guys remember the show? It was a while back. It was Extreme Makeover. And I'm not talking about the Extreme Makeover House Edition. I'm not talking about the building of the house, although that's a cool one to change a house and... But you remember the one where it was Extreme Makeover and they would go in and people, friends would gather together to help give another friend a transformation, and then teams of people would come in, whether it was dietitians and trainers, physical trainers, or it was makeup artists and hairstylists and all that. But they would come in and they would help transform someone. They would change right before your eyes. Remember, it would be so long. The family and all the friends would gather together and be this big ceremony. And when the time was right, the person would be standing kind of behind the curtain, all dressed up in their new outfit and their new hairdo and all that. And then when the reveal came, they would come walking out there and people would be, That show always confused me, because really what I felt like they were saying is a bunch of friends and family going, guess what we did? Listen, we love you so much, but you're really hard to look at. And so what we've done is we've pitched our money together to change your looks. We just can't handle it anymore. I mean, really, that's kind of what they're saying, you know? And yet, Scripture here, Paul is saying, listen, there is a transformation that needs to take place, but it's not from the outside in. It's from the inside out. Now, my father, this might give you a little idea of why I am the way I am. My parents are, they're fun. My mother passed away a year and a half ago, but she was a fun, she looked like Carol Burnett, and she acted like Carol Burnett, and she was a lot of fun. But my dad was normally the very shy guy. He's a big man. He's 6'6", and they referred to him in the military when he was in the Air Force. They referred to him as the gentle giant. He's just a very big man, but he's very gentle, and he's quiet. My mom was always kind of the extrovert, loud one, and my dad was a quiet one. But every once in a while, my dad would surprise us, and he would do something so bizarre. There was a girl in high school that I liked, and I decided to bring her home to meet my parents. And we came in the door and introduced her to my mom, and my dad was not in the room at the time, and mom says, oh, dad will come out in a minute. And, you know, so this girl and I went, and we sat on the love seat in the living room, and we're sitting there. My dad comes out, and this is his first introduction to this girl, and it was really her first introduction to my family at all. My dad had gone into the bathroom and scotch-taped his face in a whole bunch of weird positions, right? Just contorted his face. And he comes out, we're sitting on a love seat, my dad comes out and he goes, right in front of us. And this girl is like, what? And I'm sitting there going, dear Lord, why? Why do they have to be like this? Can we not just be normal for 2 minutes? Just for people. But the transformation that we are discussing today is not like we said yesterday. When we said, do not conform to the pattern of the world anymore, I ended it by saying, now make sure you understand that this is all in view of God's mercy. And so it's not within your strength in your own that you are to be transformed. It is within the power of the Holy Spirit, which means it's a transformation that's taking place on the inside that is actually working itself out on the outside. And so with this in mind, I think it's important for us to understand how that this goes about. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind plays an important part of your walk with Christ. It plays an important part in your transformation. And the mind here, I think we could say, is really referring to the soul, the will, and our intellect, and the thinking through things, and how everything starts in the mind, and then it works its way out. And so Paul is saying, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's so important that we renew our mind in Christ. The Bible says that if we're in Christ, now we have the mind of Christ, and we need the mind of Christ. We need to think His thoughts. We need to desire His desires. We need to love what He loves, hate what He hates. And so as we're going through life and we want to walk through this transformation, we have to make sure we are renewing our mind. And how we do that is by filling our mind with truth. This is so important. We have got to fill our mind with the Word of God on a regular basis so our minds will be renewed, because the pattern we had been in for so long just really put thoughts in our head that are not the ways of God. They're the ways of the world, but they're not the ways of God. And we need to renew that by hearing Scripture, reading Scripture, speaking Scripture, living Scripture, memorizing Scripture. I really do think one of the greatest things you could do as a family is learn Scripture together. Because what happens is then when you go through a rough time and you don't have your Bible right at hand, what the Holy Spirit does is He draws from that well of knowledge that you have stored up in you. Now, when we're talking about the renewing of our mind, you can turn there if you want, but this is in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. We'll just be there for a minute. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. But you see what he says? He says, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. Let that be your focus. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I actually think we need to be more heavenly minded so we can be more earthly good. The more heavenly minded we are, the more we are focusing on things above and not on the things below here, the better we're going to be down here. So we're renewing our mind by placing our mind on the things that we should be focusing on. And as our minds are being renewed, we are being transformed. Scripture says we go from glory to glory. As we go through experiences and we put our focus above, then we can get through the things below even better. It was Peter, remember when Jesus was talking about the fact that he needed to go to the cross, and Peter didn't like that idea. And Peter said, you know, no way, this is never going to happen. And Jesus' response to Peter was, get thee behind me, Satan. And then he says to Peter, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. We need to be focusing on the things of God. We need to get God's thoughts, God's ideas. We need to get those implanted in us. And that will then, as that's being watered and nurtured and lived out, that will then bring about that transformation that Scripture's talking about. Now, putting this in more of a practical sense, I want to walk you through some passages. Most of them are going to be out of Romans, but I want to remind you what Paul says in Corinthians. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And what we want to do is we want to walk in that transformation. We want to walk in that newness of life. He is declaring the old life has gone. It's done. It's over. You're a new creation in Christ. Today is a brand new day. Just as the sun came up today and it's a brand new day, you are a brand new creation in Christ. You get to start all over. What a gift. What a gift that no matter what I've done, no matter what I've gone through, I get to start all over. Every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. And I'm a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, how do we live that out? Well, as we said with the book of Romans, chapter 12 is just toward the end of the letter, and the letter was originally not written with chapters and verses, so it's a whole. And so what I want to do is take you back through different parts of Romans and show you how Paul has been laying the foundation for this all the way up. So let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, and Paul says therefore a lot in this letter, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have faith with God through our Lord Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. See, I want to pause here for a second, because in order to renew your mind, you need to get your mind lined up with the truth. Now, I'm sure that in this room, there are a whole bunch of people that would declare that they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in God. You might be sitting here going, yes, I am a part of that team. I'm a part of that group. I today declare that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a believer. My question to you is this. You believe in God, but do you believe God? You believe in God, but do you believe him? And let me tell you what I'm doing here with this play of words. Many times we can say, I believe in the existence of God. I believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross for my sins. I believe that I am saved in Christ. I do. But when it comes to him declaring something about you, sometimes you have a hard time believing it. When he says, I love you, sometimes you have a hard time believing God could actually love me. When he says, I forgive you, sometimes that's really hard for you to do. You keep bringing it back up over and over to God. Oh, God, please forgive me. Okay. And he's like, listen, I forgave you the first time we ever talked about this. We believe in God, but sometimes we don't believe God when he says, I have great plans for you. I have great purposes for your life. We believe in him, but do we believe him when he says things to us through his word? We have to get to the point where we don't only just believe in him, but we believe in what he's saying. We believe that when he says, you have been justified through faith, that we literally actually stand here and we praise God, believing what he says. He says, I'm justified, I'm justified. When he goes on to say that, listen, when you go through tough times, when you go through times of suffering, there can be great outcome from that, because in that, and Paul says that we stand in his grace, and he says we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, the transformation is not going to be taking place the way God intended it to, because you need to renew your mind. And you need to say, well, I feel like this, but Scripture says this. I need to not live by my feelings. I need to live by my faith. And my faith says, I am justified. My faith says, I will go through sufferings, but even in my suffering, God has a plan, that there is a purpose in my pain. I need to believe that. I don't like the pain I'm going through. I don't like what I'm experiencing, but I'm going to choose to renew my mind. I'm going to choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind and saying, you know what? He says it. I believe it. Now, let's jump ahead to chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 5, he says this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what that Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Paul is going on again saying, in fact, he starts chapter 8 with saying, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? If you are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. We have to get to the point where we are convinced that God is correct in what he is saying, no matter what we feel. And here he reiterates what was said earlier in Colossians of where we need to set our minds. Today, on this day here around camp, we need to understand, you know what? My mind needs to be set not on my sinful nature, not on my desires there, but it needs to be set on things above. Because the results of that is going to be peace. The results of that are going to be good. But when I set my mind on things below, when I set my mind on things in this earth, when I set my mind on the sinful nature, those desires, the only thing that results there is death and destruction. Now let's stay in chapter 8. And let's move to verse 28. Chapter 8, verse 28. Paul goes on and he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And then he goes on to say, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he goes on later down in verse 38 or verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, he says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's go back up to verse 28. He says, and we know. Here's the thing. There's a lot of things in your life you don't know. There are a lot of things you're going to go through in life that you don't understand why. And we can come up with all these questions. Why? Let me encourage you to change your questions from why to what. What do you want me to learn in this? In what way do you want to grow me in this? Because part of the renewing of our mind is saying this, look, I don't like what I'm going through, but here's one thing I know. I know that in all things, God works for my good. And part of the strength of renewing your mind on a daily basis is saying, I'm not going to be deceived by the world. I'm not going to look at things the way the world does. I'm going to look at my life the way God does. And if God says that in all things he's working for my good, then I can't sit there and separate him and go, well, I can see him working in this. Yeah, well, okay, well, I know he'd do this. This one, though, there's no way. In all things, in the good times, in the bad times, in the great days, in the days of suffering, he is in it and he is working through it for your good. Do you believe him? Oh, I believe in him. Do you believe him? Do you believe his word today? Is your mind being renewed? Are you being transformed, going from glory to glory, because your mind is being renewed, going, you know what? I don't like the season I'm in, but I know he's in it with me. I know he's walking there through it with me. And here's the thing. When you come to a point in your life when you don't understand something, you don't know the answers to something, why am I going through this? You can sit here and say, and this is what I'd recommend to you, instead of sitting here going, why don't you sit here and start focusing on the things that you do know? Instead of always focusing on the things you don't know, focus on what you do know. Well, Paul said he was convinced that he was more than a conqueror. Okay? Then remind yourself that you are more than a conqueror in Christ. Remind yourself that God is with you in this situation. Remind yourself that he is working this for your good somehow, some way. It may not feel like it. You may not like it, but that's what you know. What I know according to Scripture, and I'm renewing my mind, the renewal of my mind says, here's what I know. I don't know these answers, but I don't need to know those answers. This is what I know. And next time you go through a situation, you can sit there and go, you know what? I don't know that. But I know I'm more than a conqueror, and I know that my suffering is producing perseverance, and I know God loves me, and I know God will not forsake me, and I know, and I know, and I know, and what happens is your mind is being renewed, and you are being transformed from the inside out. See what I'm saying? So when we come to these situations, we need to remind ourselves, because there is a renewal that God wants to do on a daily basis. You see, when he says, the transformation by the renewing of your mind is not just a one-time experience. It is a continual lifestyle of being transformed on a daily basis through the renewing of your mind. So let's renew our mind today. As couples, as individuals, as families, let's remind ourselves of the truth and let's stop wasting all of our time trying to figure out, and I'm not saying it's bad to try to find out your answers, but let's not put all of our focus and all of our energy into things we don't know. Let's start celebrating the things we do know. I mean, when we've been singing every service, if you really look at the words that are up on the wall, what we're doing is we are declaring and we are celebrating truth that we need to live by. And as we sing that, we are renewing our minds, and the result is transformation. So let's be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Would you stand with me, please? Worship team can come on up. As the team's coming up, I just want to say a prayer of God's blessing over you. You people, I know why God likes you so much. I mean, you people are great people. And we have really, really enjoyed our time with you. I'm looking forward to a couple more services with you and maybe a volleyball match or so. But we believe in Jesus Christ, and we also believe Jesus Christ. And when he says something that just is hard for us to receive, we just say, Lord, help me believe what you say about me. Help me believe the way you see me. Help me see myself the way you see me. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you that right now we are standing in your grace. Thank you that there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ. Thank you that we are justified. Thank you that you work in all things for our good. And Lord, the purpose of that is that we would be transformed into the image of Christ. Thank you that we are more than conquerors. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that it's by your Spirit's power working in us that true transformation takes place from the inside out. Lord, bless this camp, bless this day, and each family, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.